Well, thank the Lord for the privilege to be back in Toronto. My wife sends her greetings to those of you who know her. And we want to begin this conference, this time together, with first of all and most of all, the most important point is to turn our attention to the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, we don't preach ourselves, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And that's what we want to lift up this evening for a few minutes as we consider some passages that highlight something about the Lord Jesus that I trust by the Spirit of God will awaken our conscience, our hearts, to have a greater affection for Him, and if we don't know Him, that it would inspire us to come to know Him, whom to know is life eternal. I would ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. We're going to begin to read from verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. And turn over to one verse in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, and we're just going to read one verse there, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In our reading, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. In our reading, we encounter three times the word firstborn. And that's really the subject of this message. The firstborn. This word is used multiple times and in different ways in the Bible in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 2 and in Matthew chapter 1, in terms of Mary, it says concerning her that she would bring forth her firstborn son. In bringing forth her firstborn son, this use of the word firstborn would indicate it was her first child and it's her first experience in having a son. And so that's one use of the word firstborn. In Hebrews chapter 11 and 28, it's another use of the word firstborn, and that is used in reference to that whole group of people that were destroyed during the exodus of the children of Israel as they departed from Egypt. The angel went through Egypt and all the firstborn were killed. God's judgment on the nation of Egypt. So the word firstborn is used there to describe that group, that collection of individuals who came under judgment. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, the word firstborn is used to describe another collection of believers who had already gone to be in glory. And he talks about how we have been brought together to the assembly of the firstborn. Those who already had their faith, committed their faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Their faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's a group of people who were be characterized as believers in Christ, part of the assembly. Now, the remaining references in the New Testament to firstborn are all in relationship to the Lord Jesus. And that's what we want to look at this evening. We want to look at the three or four times that the scripture calls the Lord Jesus the firstborn. And we want to take it apart. We want to understand it, because when we understand it, we get a greater appreciation of who he is, what a great savior he is. And that's our subject for tomorrow. But we're going to talk about this one who the Bible describes as the firstborn. He is not born, because he was never born. He always existed. So we want to eliminate that from our understanding and our thinking. In our English language, when we think of born, we think of someone having a beginning. That's not the usage when it applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was never born. He always existed. And so when we hear the word firstborn, when we think of it as applying to the Lord Jesus, don't think of it as if he had a beginning, or that he is the first one in creation. In the first reference we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of creation. That's the first one we're going to look at. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, the second one, he says he is the firstborn who came into this world. In Colossians 1, verse 18, he is the firstborn from the dead, and another translation says he is the firstborn from among the dead. We want to look at that. And then we read in Romans chapter 8, he is the firstborn among many brethren. So we want to look at these four times that the scripture describes the Lord Jesus as the firstborn. And what we want to appreciate is that the Lord Jesus Christ far exceeds everything, and we're going to go through it step by step. So it's not about first in time, it's about his supremacy. It's about his rank, it's about his position, it's about his greatness. And so in the book of Colossians, the apostle Paul is delighting and he's breaking forth in praise and thanksgiving because he saw the grace of God that brought men and translated men from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He talked about the one in whom we have forgiveness of sin, redemption through his precious blood. And he's delighting in the fact that these Colossians had come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was bowing in thanksgiving to God. And he says, this one who has brought this great gift of salvation, the great gift of redemption, the great gift of forgiveness, he wants to turn our attention. He wanted to turn the attention of the Colossians to just appreciate how great he is. And so he begins in chapter 1, verse 15. He is the firstborn of creations. He was thankful to God that he saw and witnessed the fact that these believers in Colossae, they had heard the gospel, they received the gospel. And as a result, their lives were transformed. And that's really what the gospel is about. It's about a change of condition. They were once in sin, they were once guilty, guilty before the holiness of God. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, they found forgiveness. It's a change in management, because they were under the power and authority of the power of darkness. And now they were translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. New management had come in to take charge of their lives. And there was a new destiny. We read early in the verses, and if you read earlier in the chapter, it talks about that we have been given a hope, and indeed that they had the privilege to participate in the inheritance of the saints in light.